It's time now for the Sermon of the Week, a full-length Bible message meant to fan the flame of world evangelism in your heart and life. And now your host, the President and General Director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions, Dr. Scott Caudle.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell, and thank you, dear radio listening friend, for tuning us in on this, the inaugural broadcast for the Sermon of the Week. My name is Scott Caudle. I've been blessed to serve as the General Director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions of Braselton, Georgia, since May of 2014. And I'll be your host on this week's Sermon of the Week. It has been my joy for the last 6 years of my life to do what I like to call fan the flame of world evangelism. I preach several meetings throughout the course of the year, but I guess probably 80% of the time, the services that I am in are services that are designed to stir people's hearts about the great need of reaching the world with the gospel. I love to preach any kind of messages. I love to preach messages on the home. I love to preach messages concerning revival, and I'm blessed to preach several revival meetings throughout the course of the year. But God has put it in my heart to help pastors help their people see the need to reach the world with the gospel. I love helping missionaries raise their support to get to the field to do what God has put it in their heart to do. And one of the occasions throughout the course of my calendar year to do that would be during a missions conference or a missions revival. I believe, especially having pastored 22 years myself, one of the greatest things a pastor can do is to lead his church into having a missions conference or a missions revival to place before his precious people the great need for world evangelism. In August of last year, August 2019, it was my blessing to be with my friend, Pastor Alan Montgomery, of the New Grace Baptist Church of Concord, North Carolina, for their annual World Missions Conference. I want to tell you, they do it up right now at New Grace of Concord, North Carolina. And Pastor Alan Montgomery, having been a missionary himself for so many years with Rock of Ages Ministries, he really knows how to have a missions revival. And I was blessed to be there in August of 2019, and I'm telling you, God took a meeting and turned it into a real missions revival. But during the course of that meeting, I preached a message that I entitled Grace That Makes the Case of World Evangelism. I want to share that message with you on today's broadcast, and I hope the Lord will use it to fan the flame of world evangelism in your own heart. So let's go to the pulpit of the New Grace Baptist Church of Concord, North Carolina, where my friend, Brother Alan Montgomery, is the pastor, for the message on today's Sermon of the Week, a message that I entitled Grace That Makes the Case for World Evangelism. Well, turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. And in just a very few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12 of that chapter and be reading through verse number 21. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. If you're able, would you please stand as we read the Bible together? It has been said, and I agree, the book of Romans contains the most statesmanlike presentation of the gospel of Christ in all of the Bible. In fact, I believe such a presentation is very evident here in the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says, beginning with verse number 12 of the chapter, I'll read verses 12 through 21, but leave your Bibles handy. We'll be considering sharing several truths throughout the course of the entire message from the chapter as a whole. The Apostle Paul, as he is led of the Holy Ghost of God to do so, writes, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now again, I want to encourage you to leave your Bibles open. All few points of my message this morning will be taken directly from the text that I've just been blessed to read within your hearing. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, I want to thank you this Lord's Day morning for yet another opportunity to stand in the pulpit of the great New Grace Baptist Church. Thank you for my friend, Pastor Alan Montgomery. Thank you for Miss Lynn. Thank you for their family. And thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church family. Thank you for what you have done in the past through them to reach the world with the gospel. But Lord, this week, we're looking ahead, should you stay your coming, to even greener pastures, to even higher heights. Lord, I pray that you would burden each of our hearts to do more than we've ever done before to reach the world with your glorious gospel. Help me, Lord, I pray. I'm nothing without you. I want to be a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. While zeroing in on the wonderful truths that I've just been blessed to read within your hearing, I felt impressed to the Lord this first Sunday service of your World Missions Revival to preach on this simple thought: grace that makes the case for world evangelism. Now, I've used that title because as we were blessed to read this particular portion of Romans chapter 5, I believe with all of my heart that is exactly what God has made us aware of. I say that because here in the chapter before us, we see a picture of what God can and yes, even will do for every man, woman, boy, or girl that turns to Him from their sin by faith for their soul's salvation. And therefore, I can most definitely assure you this first service of your World Missions Revival that there are several truths, particularly here in the latter portion of Romans chapter 5, that God would have each of us to see. Now, just in a few moments, we'll zero in on a few thoughts in the latter portion of the chapter, but let's consider the entire chapter by way of introduction to the message before us. I see three different pictures here as I read and consider Romans chapter number 5. First of all, look with me in verses 1 through 5. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is the first picture the Apostle Paul writes as he was led of the Holy Ghost of God to do so. Here it is in the chapter. First of all, the first picture is a picture of God lifting us. I say that because Paul declares as early as the first five verses of this chapter that the child of God has been justified by faith to the point that we now have peace with God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cruel cross of Calvary. That's why I say in verses 1 through 5 of this, the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, we see a picture, ladies and gentlemen, of God lifting us. Now, look at verses 6 through 11. In verses 6 through 11, we see yet another picture that Paul is painting. God is lifting us, according to the first five verses of Scripture. But beginning with verse 6 and continuing through verse 11, Paul paints another picture of God loving us. In fact, verse number 8 of Romans chapter number 5 is not only one of my favorite verses in all of this chapter. Brother, it's one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. There where the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I encourage you, if you mark in your Bible, to underline that word commendeth? Brother, you ought to circle that word commendeth. You ought to highlight that word commendeth. It is a word that literally means to put on display. That word commendeth assures both you and I this Lord's Day morning that God did much more than just say to a lost and dying world, I love you. Oh no, God did much more than that. God commendeth his love. God put his love on display. And if you're wondering this morning how that God did that, let me quote that familiar verse of Scripture that you no doubt can quote with me. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God lifts us, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. But Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, we see yet another picture. God loves us. Now, zero in with me on the last verses of the chapter. Our text this morning, Romans chapter number 5, verses 12 through 21. Here we see the final picture that Paul is painting in this, the fifth chapter of his letter to the church of Rome. Here we see God loosing us. Do you see the progression of the chapter? God lifts us, verses 1 through 5. God loves us, verses 6 through 11, but God looses us in verses 12 through 21. I say that because here in the latter portion of Romans chapter 5, we see a picture that God is painting through the pen of the Apostle Paul of him loosing the child of God from the power of sin. Now zero in with me. Verses 12, 13, and 14. Paul begins to speak of sin. He speaks of sin's presence, first portion of verse 12. He speaks of sin's penalty, latter portion of verse 12. And he ultimately speaks of sin's power in verses 13 and 14. He speaks of sin in verses 12 through 14. But then beginning with verse number 15 and continuing through verse number 21, he begins to take his speaking of sin another step further. Now, in verses 15 through 21, he begins to study sin. Now, watch your Bible with me. As Paul begins to study sin, according to the text, he declares emphatically and without apology that the solution for humankind's sin is salvation by grace through faith, not in what a mortal man has done, but rather in what Christ has done by shedding his blood on the cruel cross of Calvary. I know that because the latter portion of verse 20 declares that where sin abounded, grace, the choir did a great job singing about it this morning, grace did much more abound. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is marvelous miracle
working, majestic grace that makes the case for reaching the world with the gospel. Where sin abounds today, I've got good news for the people of Australia. I've got good news for the people of Scotland. I've got good news for the people of Sri Lanka. I've got good news for the people of Concord, North Carolina. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Do you know what that means? That means that sin is great, but grace is greater. It means that sin is big, but grace is bigger. It means that sin is high, but grace is higher. Thank God, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that truth is clearly illustrated here in the text before us this morning. And therefore, for just a very few moments, I'm going to call your attention, if I may, to just three truths directly from your King James Bible that I trust will cause each of us to get a glimpse of grace that makes the case for reaching the world with the gospel. Now, first things first. When I look into the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5, there is a truth that leaps off of the page and finds a lodging place in my heart. And that truth is, number one, a problem that is universal. A problem that is universal. May I say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, here in the text before us, Paul speaks of a very real and a very relevant problem when it comes to humankind as a whole. Yes. A problem that is universal. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, Paul writes, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon how many men?" Somebody say it for me. All men. And just in case you didn't get it the first time, God says it again in the latter portion of verse 12. "For that how many have sinned? All have sinned." Can I ask you this Lord's Day morning? Do you see the problem? According to the Bible, it is not only a personal problem. Hey, brother, it is a popular problem in that all have sinned. There is a problem that is universal. Therefore, do you want to know what the Bible is teaching us here in the text before us? The people of Australia, they've got a problem. The people of Sri Lanka, the people of Scotland, the people who live in your neighborhood who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, listen to me, good brother, they have a problem. It is a universal problem. Now, how many of you know that whenever God mentions something one time in His Bible, it's very important? Would you agree with that? I mean, after all, when I hold this King James Bible in my hand, I hold in my hand, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible, the impeccable, the indestructible Word of the thrice holy God of glory. Can you say amen to that? And therefore, any time God mentions something in His Bible, it's worthy of our consideration. But wait just a minute. What if God mentions something over and over and over and over again? Would it not make perfectly good sense that God is trying Himself to drive a point home? Well, in verse number 12 of Romans chapter number 5, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, God begins to drive this point home. There is a problem, and that problem is universal. "For that all," so says verse 12, latter portion of the text, "have sinned." But God isn't through making the problem known in verse 12. Look at verse 15. In verse number 15, Paul declares that through the offense of one, many are dead. God is not through. Look at verse number 16. Verse number 16 teaches us that since one has sinned, the judgment was by one to condemnation. And I'm glad God is driving this point home, friend, because you or I, either one, will never fully appreciate the superiority of grace until we first and foremost realize the severity of the problem. There is a problem, and that problem is universal. Look at verse 17. According to verse 17, since one man offended God, death reigned by one. Verse number 18 declares that through the offense of one, judgment came upon how many men? All men to condemnation. Verse number 19 teaches us that by one man's disobedience, how many were made sinners? Many were made sinners. There is a problem, ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible goes to great lengths in this chapter to teach you and I that the problem is a universal problem. Now, having considered the text that I've just called your attention to, let's progress in our study in order that we may address this question. Over and over again, here in the latter portion of Romans chapter number 5, God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, speaks of one that sinned. He speaks of one that offended. He speaks of one that disobeyed God. So let's address this question. Who is this one? And even more importantly, what does this one and his actions have to do with me, or for that matter, the world? Well, the Word of God makes it abundantly clear that the one that sinned, the one that disobeyed God, the one that offended God was our forefather Adam. And when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden as our forefather, he plunged humankind as a whole headlong into sin. That's why the Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22 that in Adam all die because the wages of sin is death. Brother, we got a big problem. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 declares, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's why you had the shooting yesterday in Texas. That's why you have the shootings in Ohio. The world is as it is because we are as we are. We're all sinners. We got a problem. Man, we got a problem. We're all sinners. Through Adam, we all die. Through Adam, we're all sinners. Through Adam, we fall short of God's glory. It is a universal problem. And the world would have you and I to believe there is no hope. But I want you to know this Bible teaches us otherwise. I think it's good for us, this first service of your World Missions Revival, to know and realize afresh and anew that the same Bible that teaches us about a problem that is universal is the same Bible that teaches us about a provision that is undeniable. Yes, the Bible teaches us that through one we all die. But hear me this morning, New Grace Baptist Church. The same Bible that teaches us through another, through one we all die, is the same Bible that teaches us through another one we all, every man, woman, red, yellow, black, or white, we all have the potential to live. And so I'm very interested this morning in this provision that is undeniable, because you see, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner that without Christ should be in hell right now. I want to know. I want to know what this Bible teaches me about the provision that is undeniable. Well, Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." May I say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, this other one is Jesus. This other one is the Lord. This other one is God manifested in the flesh. Paul said in verse number 45 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And when Paul spoke of the last Adam, he often refers to him as the second Adam. He was speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in the latter portion of Romans chapter 5, do you know what Paul begins to do? Paul takes the first Adam. That's our forefather Adam. Our great, 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 great granddaddy that failed God in the Garden of Eden. Paul takes the first Adam and he stacks him alongside the second Adam. And here in the latter portion of Romans chapter 5, Paul begins to compare the two. The first Adam to the last Adam. Notice what he says. In the latter portion of verse number 15 of Romans chapter 5, Paul writes, "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many." Now again, whenever God mentions something one time in his Bible, it's worthy of our consideration. But what if he drives the point home? Man, it's really worthy of our consideration. Well, when God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, started writing about grace in verse number 15, it was so good that he thought he had to write about it again. So he gets down to verse 17, and he again, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, begins to contrast the first Adam with the last Adam. When he writes in verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." God isn't through. He's driving this point concerning the provision that is undeniable home. Look at verses 18 and 19. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Therefore, having read Romans chapter 5, I could say it like this and be biblically correct in saying it. The first Adam reigned over doomed humanity. But the last Adam reigns over delivered humanity. Through the first Adam came the doom of sin. But hear me this morning, sinner friend, through the last Adam, through the Lord Jesus, through his shed blood, comes deliverance from sin. Oh yes, through the first Adam comes a problem, and that problem is universal. But through the last Adam, the lovely Lord Jesus, comes a provision, and that provision is undeniable. Through the first Adam, I'm lost. But through the last Adam, thank God I'm found. Through the first Adam, I'm on my way to hell. But through the finished work of the last Adam, I'm heaven bound, as Brother Mays used to say, with the hammer down, and there's not one thing the dirty, rotten, stinking devil's going to do about it. Thank God for the second Adam. Yes, through the first Adam, I was a sinner. but through the second Adam, I'm a saint. Through the first Adam, I was taken low, but through the last Adam, I've been lifted high. Through the first Adam, I am guilty of sin, but through the second Adam, through the Lord Jesus, through the faith I exhibited, not in what I had done, but in what He had done for my soul on the cross of Calvary, I've been justified. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. That makes the case for world evangelism. Yes, the men of Scotland have a problem. Yes, the men of Mexico have a problem. Yes, your neighbor has a problem. Yes, your loved one has a problem. But the story doesn't end with a problem that is universal. There is a provision that has been made that is absolutely undeniable. And that provision is grace. That provision is Jesus. Because of that, I've been given much more in Jesus than I even lost in Adam. That's why verse 17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," somebody say those next two words for me. "Much more. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Verse 20 says again, "Moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, what did much more abound? Grace." That makes the case for world evangelism. Let me say this, I'll give you my last point. I ask the preacher everywhere I go, "Now, what time do you normally get out on a Sunday morning?" And your pastor said, "Oh, sometimes around 12:30, something like that." And I said, "Well, it's always my goal to be done 5 to 10 minutes sooner before you get done." That's a good way to start a missions revival. It tends to make people want to come back. Amen. And so I'm going to finish before your preacher normally gets finished. And I assure you, if you'll come back tonight, I'll do the same thing. There is a problem that is universal. There is a provision that is undeniable. If you're here and you're lost, I've got some great news for you. In the first Adam, you'll die. But in the last Adam, man, you can live.
That's right.
About scared the life out of that young lady on the front row when I hit that point right there. The problem that is universal, the provision that is undeniable, and therefore, notice finally the possibilities that must be understood. The possibilities that must be understood. First of all, there is most definitely the possibility of condemnation.
Yes, sir.
God's not going to force anybody to be saved.
Amen.
He's not going to make people turn to Him for their soul salvation. And so if men reject the shed blood of Calvary, then what they are doing by their actions, what they are saying to the thrice holy God of glory is, "No thanks." And I want you to know, men will choose to die in their sin and go to hell. God sends no man to hell. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 makes it very clear that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Men freely choose to go to hell when they reject the finished work of Calvary. And therefore, there is the possibility of condemnation. There is the possibility of condemnation as we consider there are multitudes of people. In fact, it is a proven statistic that half of the 7 billion people of this world have never heard the name of Jesus, much less a clear presentation of the gospel. And I want you to know, if man doesn't turn from their sin to the Lord Jesus, those men will be condemned to spend eternity in hell. That's why we need to make sure that every man alive on this planet has an opportunity to hear the same gospel that you and I heard that changed our lives. So there is the possibility of condemnation. But then, thank God, there is the possibility of conversion. The latter portion of verse 21 teaches us that there is also the possibility of salvation. If a lost sinner will simply turn from their sin to the Lord Jesus by faith and be saved, they will be justified through the blood of the Lamb. So the question, as far as here in this service, this very morning, is simply this. Who are you in? Are you in Adam? Then you are lost and on your way to a literal burning hell. There is nothing else for you but judgment and wrath and eternal punishment in a lake of fire. However, if you have trusted Christ, you are in Him. And according to the Bible, you have passed from death unto life. That's why the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What choice will you make this morning, friend? The choice is certainly yours. As far as the world is concerned, it's God's will for us to take this message of grace to the people of the world while we yet have opportunity to do so. Because God has made the same grace that He saved us with available to whosoever. It's truly grace that makes the case for world evangelism. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me?
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week, brought to you by Macedonia World Baptist Missions. Macedonia is a faith-based missions agency that is committed to assisting the local church in reaching the world with the gospel. For more information about Macedonia World Baptist Missions, visit us online at www.mwbm.org. If you would like a copy of today's message in its entirety, you may contact Dr. Caudle via his website at drscottcaudle.com. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Saturday at this same time for the Sermon of the Week.